Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God.
In the field of sociology, there's a theory that's known as the labeling theory. And the labeling theory is about the labels or tags that we connect to ourselves and our perceptions of who we are. There are all sorts of tags that we place on ourselves. And those tags that we place on ourselves directly influence the trajectory and the quality of our lives. There are positive labels and tags that we put on ourselves. We can be successful. We can be a winner. We can be a hard worker. We can be maybe even easygoing or laid back. Perhaps there are some labels or tags that you've placed on yourself positively, and maybe you can throw some of those into the chat section of the message today. There are also negative labels and tags that we place on ourselves. We can be a failure or a loser or lazy or any number of other things that maybe you've thought of already and you can throw into the chat section that are negative labels and tags that we carry. The reality is that all of us place labels on ourselves. But we also place labels on others, and we also have labels placed on us by others. No matter whether we place the labels on ourselves, labels are placed on us, or we place labels on others, the labels that we place influence who we are, who we are becoming, and where we are going. One of the more interesting labels that gets placed on people and maybe even placed on us is the label of potential. And the reason that potential, one of the reasons potential is so interesting of a label is because it can be placed on us positively or negatively. In a positive sense, the label of potential can mean that someone isn't quite where they are, but they're a work in progress. They'll eventually get there. They'll keep growing. They'll keep learning. They'll keep getting better. They'll keep improving, and because of the potential that they have. Potential can also be used in a negative sense. When we say that someone has potential and we communicate that they're never going to reach their potential because they just aren't going to be able to make it. They are where they are, and they won't move any farther. And this label of well, but they had so much potential. When it comes to potential, what role does God play in all of it? Does God care about our potential? Does God want us to reach our potential? Does God give us potential? Does God equip us to reach our potential? Well, one of the interesting things about potential is that potential is often tested in the proving ground of small things. A proving ground is a place where something is developed, tried out, or tested. Though we're grateful for the proving ground of an airplane being tested, tried out, and developed when we board a plane for safety, functionality, and dependability, we tend to resist or prefer to avoid proving ground tests where our attitudes, our resolve, our patience, and maybe even what we believe is tested. The proving ground almost always comes in the form of a test. And the tests, the proving ground tests, are rarely scheduled or rarely announced. They seem to just happen in the course of life. And almost every proving ground test comes with a question waiting to be answered. As we face the proving ground test of small things, the question that's waiting to be answered is, what do you do with what God entrusts to you? As with almost any question, there are multiple ways that we can answer. There are multiple approaches that we can take in how we answer the question. And there are many approaches that we can take in how we will approach the proving ground of small things. In a story that Jesus told, which is recorded by one of his closest followers, Matthew, who was an eyewitness to the story, he was there when Jesus told it, we can uncover some approaches to the test, the proving ground of small things that can help us determine our approach to the proving ground of small things. The story that Jesus tells is the story about a man who took a long trip. And let's pick up the story and see what we can uncover about how to approach the proving ground of small things. Matthew tells us, he called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. As the man prepares to take a trip, he calls his servants together and he entrusts his money to them. Now, one of the interesting things is what he gives them is still his. He owns it, but he entrusts it to them with the understanding that they will put to use what he is entrusting. The word that's used for entrusted there means to make someone responsible for someone or something, to commit to another with confidence. And so when the owner entrusts his money to the servants, he is committing it to them with confidence. He is making them responsible for it. The implication is that they will take that money and do the responsible thing with it. That they will do the responsible thing and he gives it to them with confidence. But Jesus says in his story that not each of the servants is given the same amount. In fact, Jesus tells us he gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. Well, when Jesus says that the owner divided it in proportion to their abilities, it's possible, maybe even likely, that what he's saying there is that the owner divided or entrusted according to the potential that he saw in the others. Maybe even in the abilities that they had displayed. But he gave it to them based on what he believed they would put to use and what they could do. So one receives 5, one receives 2, and one receives 1. As we go through the test of small things, not each of us are given the same amount. Not each of us are entrusted with the same types of things. We're all entrusted with different things and different amounts. But notice in this story that each was given something. Each was given the opportunity to do something with what had been entrusted. Now, in each bag was a significant amount of money. It was perhaps small in proportion to the amount of the great wealth of the owner, but it was still something of significance and still something of substance that could be put to use, and something productive and constructive could come out of the use that it was put to. So each of them is given the opportunity, the same opportunity, with a different amount, but the same opportunity. And so what happens with what they are entrusted? Matthew tells us, the servant who received the five bags of silver, began to invest the money and earned five more. The servant with two bags of silver also went to work and earned two more. But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. Now, in the first century, it was not uncommon to double an investment. There were a lot of ways that that could have been done. And it would not have been an unreasonable expectation of the owner that when he entrusted the money to the servants, that it would be doubled. It just was not uncommon. It was also not uncommon for somebody to dig a hole and to hide their money to keep it safe and protected. So in the story, we see two different approaches. Two put the money to use and double the investment. One buries a hole in the ground and hides it to keep it safe and secure. Now, one of the things that's important to note is the one who dug a hole. Again, it was a common practice. So he didn't misspend anything. He just chose not to put it to use. But the implication when the owner entrusted it to them is that it would be put to use. If it was going to be something productive come out of it, if something constructive was going to be done with it, it had to be put to use. To bury it in the ground, nothing was accomplished with it. It was just kept safe, which in some form and fashion is an okay thing to do with certain things and at certain times. But in this specific story that Jesus told, the intention was to take the five and the two and the one and put them to use and allow something to be done and accomplished through them and with them. Well, the story goes on when Matthew tells us, after a long time, their master returned from his trip. So this wasn't a short trip. This was a long trip. A significant amount of time had passed, and each of them had had ample opportunity to put what had been entrusted to them to work. So after a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. Well, one of the things I would love to know as a detail in this story is if they were all called in together and they all stood in the same room and were asked the same question and had to give an account of how they had spent the money or put the money to use, or whether they were called in individually and had to answer one-on-one to the owner for the things that they were entrusted with. Well, either way, whether they were called in together or called in individually, each and every one of them was called in for the same purpose, to give an account of what they had done with what they had been entrusted. They each stand before the owner, and the owner says, What did you do with what I was in with what I entrusted to you? Well, the one with five bags says, I put it to work and I earned five more. Here, 10 bags. The one with two says, well, I went to work also and here are four bags. I've doubled your investment. And the response of the owner to the two that put it to work is incredibly powerful and hopefully compelling for people like me and people like you, as we strive to navigate the proving ground of small things and asking and answering the question of what we will do with what God entrusts to us. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The master was full of praise, very kind, glowing reports and words to those that had put to use what he entrusted to them. He told them that they had been faithful with a small amount, and as a result of being faithful with a small amount, as a result of passing the proving ground test of small things, they will be given many more responsibilities, which I have to believe goes beyond just more bags of silver. I think they're given more responsibilities beyond that because they had proven responsible with that. And then he says, let's celebrate together. And the word construction in the original language that Matthew would have written in, which would have been Greek, is that this carries the idea of a great feast, a big celebration thrown in honor of someone for something that's been accomplished. So full of praise, many more responsibilities, a great celebration, a big feast put together because of what has been accomplished. I don't know about you, but with what God has entrusted to me, I would love to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I would love for God to heap praise upon me for what I did with what he has entrusted to me. I would love for him to say, because you've been faithful with the small things, you'll be given many more responsibilities. And I would love for God to say to me, let's celebrate together what's been accomplished as you've navigated the proving ground test of small things. Full of praise, many more responsibilities, celebrating together is a very radically different response from the owner to the two than it was to the one who gave this report about what he had done with the money that was entrusted to him. Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. And he handed him the one bag. The word harsh that this servant uses to describe the owner carries the idea of someone who has an ongoing, nasty, unpleasant disposition, almost as if it's a character flaw kind of thing. And so what the servant is communicating is that no matter what he did with the money, the owner of it wasn't going to be pleased. Nothing that he would do would satisfy the owner. And he says that the reason he thought this was because he was afraid. He was afraid he would lose his money. And not just afraid he would lose the money, but he was afraid what the owner would do in response to him losing the money. He was afraid of what might happen to him. And any time that we face the proving ground test of small things, we are also faced with the test of motivation. We are always tested with why we're doing what we're doing. Why are we making the decisions we're making? Why are we choosing the approach that we're choosing? The two servants who invested, the two servants who put to use what they were entrusted, did so out of a faithfulness to the owner. They knew it was his money. And they knew what he desired to have done with it. And so they put it to use. And they were able to invest it wisely and double it because of their relationship with the owner of what had been entrusted to them. The one who dug a hole and hid the money said clearly that he was afraid. Where the two operated out of faithfulness, the one operated out of fear. And when it comes to the proving ground test of small things, we have to come to a place where we choose the approach we choose and do the things that we do and make the decisions we make, that we do the right things simply because they're the right things and because we are taking a step of faithfulness to the one who has entrusted whatever we have been entrusted with to us. We don't choose out of fear, but out of faithfulness. And the response that the owner gives to the fearful servant is radically different than high praise, many more responsibilities, and a celebration together. In fact, Here's what he says. You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Wow, wicked and lazy? That sounds pretty harsh. So maybe the assessment of the servant calling the owner harsh was accurate after all. Or maybe there's more going on in the story. The word that's used for wicked there is indicative of a heart issue. And so what the owner is communicating is that there's something going on in the heart of this individual servant. There's something going on in the heart that motivated the lazy approach, the fearful approach. And that what needed to be addressed in the approach of this servant was the heart. Whatever it was that was going in the heart needed to be addressed and corrected. Because until it was, nothing would be right in how he approached what he had been entrusted with. And then he orders that the one bag be taken from the wicked, lazy servant and given to the one that has 10 bags. And as he does this, he gives more insight into the proving ground of small things. He said, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. We face the proving ground of small things every day because God entrusts us with every day. Every day we face small decisions and we face larger decisions. We face a test of motivation about why we do what we do. But in the small decisions is often when our potential is proven. And when our potential is proven, God entrusts us with more. And God entrusts us with something every day. We may not think it's large enough. We may not think it's good enough. But we're entrusted with something. And God intends for us to put it to use. He said, those who do nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those who put to use what they are entrusted with will be given even more. And I don't know about you, but I want to do my level best to be one who puts to use what God has entrusted to me. And the even more may not be the even more that I think it should be or that I expect it to be. But the even more isn't the point. The point is what we do with what God entrusts to us. The point isn't doing what we do to get more. The point is doing what we do because it's the right thing to do, and the even more becomes the added benefit or the added bonus or the icing on top of the cake, so to speak. Each of us entrusted with something, and each of us faces the proving ground of small things. So the questions that remain for people like me and people like you, the questions that maybe can get the conversation or keep the conversation going from this message: what has God entrusted to you? Because he has entrusted something. What will you do with what God's entrusted to you? Because he intends for you to do something with it. Will you pass the test of the small things? Will you be responsible in the small day-to-day decisions? And will we reach our potential, the potential that God has for us in who we are becoming and where God desires for us to go? When we face the proving ground of small things, we face the proving ground of what God has entrusted to us. And so will we pass the test of small things? Let me pray for us as we wrap up this time together. Dear God, thank you for this amazing story. A story about being entrusted with something. A story about being entrusted with something that you intend for us to put to use so that something productive and constructive can result from its use. God, thank you for giving us the proving ground of small things and help each one of us to respond with faithfulness over fear and to do the right things simply because they are the right things to do. Help each of us to pursue and reach our potential, the potential that you have for each of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for choosing to connect with the online campus of Hurricane Community Church. We hope that this time helped you connect with relationship with
Thanks
God.
Thanks again for tuning
what it
in.
Means to follow
and
Jesus.
We hope this message helped you take
and
a step in your relationship
time,
with God.
First time in a long
if you're
time,
considering other ways to connect
with
check
us
out HCC's
every time.
Website, social media,
we hope that you'll connect
and YouTube
with us again.
Channels.